What's up, everyone? Welcome back to episode 29 of the Jungle Podcast. I'm Carter.
It's almost all going downhill. We're almost there. That's crazy.
After 30, I'm Steven.
Oh, I'm Matthew.
This man, he's like, intros? Nah.
It's all downhill. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. Yeah, we're almost at 30. That's crazy, man. I feel like we say this every episode, but...
Man, what the hell are we even talking about these past 29 episodes?
Who knows?
I don't know, man.
I just like, as soon as we are done recording, I literally forget what we just talked about. Like, all
That's
the
concerning.
Time.
That's concerning. I think I do remember what we talked about for a while, because I remember, like, oh yeah, we talked about it at one point, but I don't remember the details. Like, I'm not going to remember exactly what Steven said 2 episodes ago, but like, I'll remember, oh yeah, we talked about that.
I remember like a few episodes in the past, and then like in the middle, don't remember shit. And then like,
memorable ones, like when we have people come through, or like if it's a topic that, like, I don't know, is a pretty big topic, some small stuff, like if we talk about like some small tech news that happened, or like some small NBA news, like I'm not finna remember that. Like,
that's fair. On that, does anybody want to jump right into their topic?
Steven, you look like you're ready to talk.
I definitely was not, but I came up with something about 10 seconds ago. Okay, so we'll roll with this.
If not, I got something, but
no, it's all good. So, like, got my new computer set up, right? This is like opened a new world of gaming to me, and I finally
camera's not crusty.
Started playing. What?
So camera's not crusty.
It's an improvement.
That's factual. He's out of the trap.
It's an improvement. It's still not great. I'm still using like the built-in webcam because my camera.
Yeah, but you're
still
out of the trap. You're out of the trap. You're no longer in the basement,
bro.
Yeah, I just need to clean up the office now because it's a mess. But anyways, so I've been diving in to Halo Combat Evolved. All right, I only just started it.
You got the MCC.
Why are we not playing?
We'll play.
But like, that kind of got me thinking. Like, I only played through the first level so far. Like, I've like barely touched it, but I was like, damn, this is good.
And
this
got me Combat Evolved. Sorry,
Combat Evolved. I'm going beginning. I'm going like release order. Okay. But it got me thinking. It's like, what do you guys think are like the quintessential games that's just like you have to play? Like, I feel like Halo is like a defining game, and it's like, how do you take me this long to play it? But it's like, what else would you put in that category? Like,
hold on. Can we just take a moment and realize that Steven is finally catching up on so many things that he missed out on? Like, major
dude,
movies.
I'm telling you,
games,
like, you know what's crazy? Yo, P, you know what's crazy? Living?
Rose, my catch up here.
I think the last time I was at Steven's house, like 4 or 5 years ago, he was telling me about how long his backlog was of games. And I'm like, man, yeah. And I was thinking about it like a few weeks ago when he did the Steven's movie review. He's like, yeah, like, I'm finally catching up on this. I'm like, damn, you got a backlog of movies and games? And music too? Like, but on your note,
yeah,
it depends on the genre, I would say. Like, that's not an easy question, but like, there's definitely some games I would definitely put on that list. Like, I would put any kind of Mario or Zelda game. It doesn't necessarily have to be one specific one, but like, I think that's.
But let's say you had to choose. Like, here is one Mario game. Here is one Zelda.
But then
that's okay.
But that's my bias. Then at that point, I'm like, man, you got to try this one.
That's fair. That's fair. That's what I'm looking for.
I would say, legitimately speaking, Ocarina of Time is a ridiculously good game.
Yeah, I feel like it's between Ocarina and Breath of the Wild. Like,
Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild's lit. Breath of the Wild's nice.
Yeah.
Another one I would say is Minecraft. I feel like you can rip on it as much as you want. Like, you could be like, oh, it's for children. But I'm like, once you play Minecraft once, you understand why so many people love it. Because it's like, you literally can do anything you want.
It's one of the most replayable games ever. Like, it's so open. Yeah.
It's open, but it doesn't feel like it's like hopeless and you'll never catch up because there's nothing to catch up on. It's just like basic stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then, updates come out. A staple game.
Easy to say Call of Duty.
No, I would not. I mean, that's something like pretty much.
I mean, you could put
playing.
One up there. You could put something
I could,
like
I could put
Marvel
Call of Duty like
there.
Legitimately there. I'd put Call of Duty just because I feel like that's one of the most popular games ever. Like,
okay, I'll say this about COD, because I know like some people don't like COD, but if you're gonna play like a story And like I'm talking like a one-off campaign. Yeah, a one-off campaign that doesn't have any link. Like you don't need like more.
Yeah, you don't need to keep playing the other games in order to keep up with what's going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it's not like you're just playing one game that develops a story and then the rest of it builds on it. One-off for sure. Advanced Warfare. Advanced Warfare campaign is super underrated.
The story for MW3 won't make as much sense if you haven't played MW2 or 1. Yeah, no, I get you. That's factual.
And then same thing with like Black Ops.
World at War. Actually, World at War, you could say. World at War, I would say you could play. The story's pretty solid. Fuck. The story's good.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to say World at War. I kind of forgot this. Yeah, it's my favorite. It's my favorite that's COD a campaign one. For sure. Yeah, and then like Advanced Warfare is close, but yeah, World at War is like insane.
Have you played the World at War storyline? At Steven?
I have not. I kind of just expect whenever people talk about Call of Duty campaigns, it's like it's Black Ops and it's Modern Warfare that you hear about. And it's like I don't disagree honestly, that MW is underrated though.
The first Black Ops storyline was really good.
Yeah.
Second one was also like kind of solid, but then like you could tell by the time Black Ops 3 came out, they kind of just were not focusing on the campaign as much because it wasn't as big anymore. Like people were like, yeah, like I think they realized their demographic is like they play multiplayer or zombies. That's pretty much it.
Yeah,
it's like they just started focusing on it, which is fine, you know. Like I'm not
although
if I
will
was
say,
if I was still playing COD, I would say I definitely would probably focus more on multiplayer and zombies than the campaign.
Although I will say it seems like it's like every other year they put a whole lot of effort into the campaign. It's like Infinite Warfare. They had like a bunch of big actors and like big names, and then World War II they sort of put like some detail in, and then Black Ops sort of didn't have a campaign. Was it
the problem with COD games that go in the past?
Actually, Modern Warfare is pretty good.
Like after World at War, but I think the problem with the COD games that go back past is that those stories have been they've been told so many times. Like World War II isn't exactly a new story. I'm not saying that you can't retell it and make it good. I'm just saying that like people are probably less likely to play that because it's been redone so many times. Like not just in COD, but like Battlefield's done it.
Yeah.
There's like legit just one-off war games and stuff.
I will say. So, because I know, like, the current, or, like, the latest COD Modern Warfare is, like, super popular. That career is, or that campaign is actually really good. Although, I think my favorite part was, like, Farah's storyline. It's like, this character played by Claudia Dumi. Holy shit. It's so good. I mean, it's, like, they sort of go through stuff that they're, like, they go into, like, topics that they've never really touched before. At least, like, that, from that perspective.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, a first-person perspective of, like, a kid growing up in like a war-torn country, and then it's like
that's
go
a cool
through her struggle
on.
Yeah, it's dude, it's so
for
cool
sure.
Modern Warfare was like that was a solid reboot, don't get me wrong. The campaign's
good.
I feel like its ambitions were almost higher than its execution, where it's like they wanted, like they had really good ideas that I feel like they mostly executed well on, but like they could have gone further with it. But I'll give them credit. It definitely, the campaign did, like you were saying, it delved into things that they haven't really touched on before. And like, there's a couple levels in there that are like some of the best COD levels I've played. And like, I haven't played like the classic, like I haven't played the original Modern Warfare trilogy. I didn't play the Black Ops 2 campaign. So I know I'm missing out on some iconic stuff there, but like, I've been keeping up with the campaigns for the most part on like the like PS4 era. And yeah, some of those levels on Modern Warfare were like the Modern Warfare reboot. The one, I forget what it's called, but it's the one where you break into a house at night and you're like going floor by floor. I mean,
that's cool.
They demoed that entire level before the game's launch. Like that was one of their like kind
Is
of like promo levels.
Or something?
I think so, yeah. But that was one of their promo levels, so it's like nothing in that level was surprising. You had already seen that level beginning to end, but playing through it, it's a fucking great
level. Yeah, it's a different experience of watching it versus playing it.
It's fucking great. And a bit later on, they kind of opened that up more. I forget what the level is, but where you have like the three buildings, like the pool, the church, and I forget what the last building is. And you have to like go to all three buildings, gather intel, and then like make your way to the main building to bust a guy out. Like, and you have like patrol vehicles and such going through, and the entire thing is in the dark. That's really cool because you have a lot of freedom in that level. Like, don't get me wrong, you have four main objectives, but you can do them in whatever order you want. You can approach them however you want. It's like do you want to go in guns blazing? You can do that. Do you want to like find the fuse box and cut power? You can do that. You can shoot out individual lights. You can like, you can approach it loud. You can approach it quiet. You can approach it in the dark and light. Like, you have more options there than I'm used to seeing in a COD campaign. And I think it was really well done. As a whole, I did like the campaign, but those two levels in particular really stuck out to me.
That's fair.
I would say another game though, any of the Smash Bros. Series.
Yeah.
That's a staple. Like, I feel like not only is it good in a party setting, like it's also like there's a competitive aspect. It's like, it's super easy to pick up and play, like low skill floor, high skill ceiling kind of game. And like, it's just, there's so many iconic characters that are in it that it's like, you're going to bound to recognize them, one of them from somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And at this point, Ultimate is just like, it's kind of wild. It's kind of wild that that game exists. Like, when you were like, oh, it's a new Smash Bros. On Switch, that's cool. And it's like, oh, everyone is here. Oh, that's cool. What do they mean by everyone? And then it's literally everyone is here. It's like, it is just wild. It is like the accumulation of everything that series has ever been in a single package. And it's probably one of the most comprehensive like gaming experiences you can get. Like, if you're just looking at like, I can buy a single game, what is going to give me the most content in that single game? Smash Bros. Ultimate is up there. Like, it is just,
oh, for sure. Not only is it like, it also doesn't feel like it's like just squeezed in there as like side content stuff. It like, it actually feels like the whole game was pretty fleshed out. Like, there's nothing aside from like, well, for me, this is just my personal opinion, but like this whole spirits and the spirit board thing is the only thing I don't really touch in Ultimate, but like everything else just feels so like fleshed out, and I'm just like, wow, this is impressive.
I mean, even the spirits, I go back to World of Light once in a while, like just like if I want to play Smash but I don't feel like getting my ass whooped, it's like, yeah, sure, I'll go play like World of Light or something. And like, that's a big campaign. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not like Subspace Emissary where it's like strictly linear, every level has a purpose. Like, a lot of World of Light is just like, here, do a spirit battle to advance the space, do a spirit battle to advance the space. Like, you're not, it's not as story focused as Subspace Emissary was, but there is still a comprehensive single player mode there. And it's like, you can just not touch it and still get your money's worth out of that game. Mm-hmm. But like, if you want it, it's there. And the fact that they keep adding to it as well, like, it's not one of those things that's like, oh, here, we did World of Light and now it's done. Every time a new character comes out, it's like, here are a new batch of spirit battles. And they're regularly just doing limited time events as well. It's like, that game has gotten phenomenal post-launch support with two battle passes, the continued spirit support. It's like all the Mii costumes, like, that game, probably more than any other Nintendo game, has gotten very extensive post-launch support.
I still don't understand how they do it. Like, how do you get Banjo-Kazooie in there? How does he do it? How does he do it? I'm telling you right now.
I'm
like,
waiting for Master Chief, bro.
I'm telling you, but Master He's going to pop up. I'm calling
it's
going to
be
right
Master
now.
Chief finishes the fight. That's what it's going to be. That's
like, I know it's been a meme, but like, honestly, at this point, like, I can't. It's gonna be, it'll be anything you could dream. Yeah. He could probably make it happen. Like,
they got Banjo, they got Steve. Like, they're on good terms with Microsoft. It's gotta be the chief. It's gotta be the chief.
See, I would love it.
I'd love like, Spyro too. That'd be sick.
Yeah, I'm more okay with Chief being in like a Smash Bros. Game than in fucking Fortnite. That just was disrespectful.
Honestly, I'll say it. I know you don't like Fortnite, but I feel like that's a game that, because of how large it is and how big of a fan base, especially recently, I wouldn't be surprised if you put that on someone's list of a game that you might want to try.
Literally everything. Oh, yeah. No, totally. I think Fortnite, especially
it's done the Battle Royale genre, I think. I want to say it did it the best, but like, it's definitely up there because of just how prominent it is. Like, clearly, it's a whole thing, you know, like.
That and microtransactions, like the idea of like post-launch revenue kind of thing has been completely changed by Fortnite. They were the first game, to my knowledge, to do the battle pass. And now every game does the battle pass. And I strongly prefer the battle pass to loot boxes because the battle pass generally...
I don't know, though. There was something real nice about like AW Elite.
No, but when you think about like if you're spending money, don't get me wrong, like AW.
No, for real, I agree with you. I'm just thinking.
But like, no, don't get me wrong. There's something fun about it, but like with the battle pass, it's like what most games charge as much for a battle pass as they would for like 5 loot boxes. If loot boxes went for like $2 a pop, most battle passes are around $10, and you get how much content? Like, it's a ridiculous amount. And you know, some games do it better than others, but I think generally speaking, the idea of a battle pass does provide more content for less money than previous forms of microtransactions.
I think it just plays on a different aspect of like why people even buy any sort of microtransactions in general. With like loot boxes, it's like, oh, I get a chance to get something that I like, whereas with this one, it's like, oh, I get a fuck ton more content for like not even that much money. Because especially when they make it like 10 to 15 bucks and like, for example, you said Fortnite. To my knowledge, other games like COD do the battle pass now, if I'm not mistaken. Siege has a battle pass, Smite has battle passes, like all these games. It makes sense because it's like I would rather spend like instead of $2 just trying to get one skin, like keep spending more and more and more. Just spend 10 bucks and I for sure will get it so long as I play the game, which I'm gonna do anyway. So it's like you kind of get best of both worlds there. You don't spend that much more money, but you get a lot more content and you continue playing the game.
Okay, so I've got a like question to see how you guys would react. So you know how like Smite, they have your battle pass.
Oh, it's a reaction channel now.
The prestige like section of the battle pass or whatever. And then there's some premium skins that like you just have to buy. So what if you had in like, I don't know, whatever game it is, you had like your battle pass. And then your prestige battle pass, once you finish it, is like just loot boxes for a chance at getting some of these like skins that you can pay for. Because then it's like sort of like the best of both worlds. Like you have this battle pass that you could guarantee content for, and then you have a chance at getting these like premium skins. Obviously, it would be like ridiculous chances at getting it, but if you're just really grinding the game, you have a chance.
I wouldn't mind that. That'd be cool. Because it's like,
Oh, you first. Go ahead. You first.
No, well, I was just going to say, like, that could, in theory, just keep going on indefinitely. I mean, they wouldn't want it to for financial reasons, but it's like, Fortnite has 0 to 100. If you do 0 to 100, that stays the same. And then, like, there's an additional, you know, 50 levels or whatever beyond that that gets you loot boxes. It's like, sure, yeah, that just gives you even more content if you keep going. And the thing with Fortnite, because their battle pass, unless they've changed it, last I was aware, you buy the battle pass once and they give you enough in-game currency back to buy the next
that's
battle
pretty
pass.
Much like every battle
like,
pass.
They make no continued revenue from that. You can just buy it once and keep going. But the thing is, they hook you into the game that way. And so then
really
when you
smart,
have
actually.
Your big characters like Master Chief, like Kratos, like these one-offs that don't have
John
a battle
Wick.
Pass structured around them, John Wick, it's like then they are the one-time purchases and those skins are not cheap. Like it's like as much as the battle pass, if not more, just for a single skin. But they get people hooked in with the battle pass with the idea being that you're going to stick around. And then it's like, oh, hey, there's a cool skin. I'm going to buy that. I don't even play Fortnite much. And there's been skins that have like, I've been tempted to get, like they brought like Tron Legacy skins. It's like, Tron is such an obscure movie that's like
honestly the Marvel crossover event was already enough. I'm like, damn, maybe I should re-download this. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's like those skins are so cool. Kratos, Master Chief, it's like these are really cool. I don't even play this game, but like I kind of want to buy them. I didn't, but it's like I'm sure a lot of people did where it's like that's dope. I'm gonna buy that and go back to that game for a bit.
A few other games I would say you got to try a 2K at least once. Doesn't matter what sport. I feel like it's just like that's a pretty classic like genre of gaming, like sports games.
Yeah.
If you're not gonna do it that style, then like maybe Wii Sports or something.
I feel like a BioShock game.
Wii Sports
would be up there.
Basketball.
Wii Sports is basketball? Definitely up there.
Wii Sports
is
for me personally, I would say is a must try just because of like that was revolutionary. Do you remember how freaking much or how much freaking hype was around Wii Sports when it first dropped?
There's still
like,
nothing better
to get a Wii.
There's still like, nothing better than like Wii Sports and Wii Sports Resort. Like those games still hold up because no one's done that better. Like
no, and it's like it's because it's so easy to pick up and play, but it's so fun to like do.
Bro, Wii Bowling? Wii Bowling?
Bowling
like, where's
slaps.
That?
Bowling slaps.
Yeah.
Bro, I don't get why they haven't released Switch Sports. Like,
oh, trust me, the day they do that, I'm telling you, Steve, we're all meeting up at the park somewhere or something. We're gonna have a tournament.
I feel like it's their like ace up their sleeve, where it's just like if they have a slow year, they're like,
if they're on the verge of bankruptcy, they're like, fuck it, let's run it.
It's like, but here's the thing though, Nintendo, not to get too off track, but like Nintendo is in such a good position right now where it's like the Switch Pro, which has been rumored for well over a year now, is like finally, like it looks like it's finally happening, coming out later this year. That seems to be the strongest rumor. Everyone's expecting it to launch with Breath of the Wild too, because why wouldn't you? Like, they're already doing ridiculously well. They don't need like to play any cards up their sleeves. Oh. But their lineup just looks like it is not going to slow down. It's like, here's a new model revision. Now you have people double dipping because they want the new Switch. And now you have Breath of the Wild 2. Now you have, you know, Metroid Prime 4. I'm sure a trilogy remaster is coming. It's like, they are not slowing down.
It's kind of crazy to think of how many first party titles they have that are that well received. Mm-hmm. Like, I can make the argument that Pokemon isn't as well now as it used to be, but like,
it still objectively sells, speaking,
it still sells
well.
Really well. And like, yeah, obviously Mario is a fucking titan of gaming. Like,
yeah,
you got to live under a rock to not know Mario, you know, especially if you're a gamer. You don't have to be a gamer. I feel like everyone knows who Mario is.
Yeah. I mean, like
Zelda, obviously, Metroid, Splatoon, I would say is a pretty big one for them now.
And they just announced Splatoon 3.
Yeah. Like, they have so many first party titles that I'm like, they don't even need third party titles. Like, that's what's crazy to me is that they do fine with their first party titles. I'm like, damn, that's, you got it all in house. Like, you could have third party titles, obviously, but the fact that you can stay that afloat with just your first party titles alone, like you could just say Breath of the Wild 3 or 2 and then everyone's like, fuck, we gotta get it. Like,
but here's the thing, now with the Switch Pro, because, you know, Nvidia's big thing in the PC space, like their big leg up over AMD is DLSS, which is, Carter, you're familiar with it, I don't know if you are, Matthew, but it's basically this technology that using AI allows you to run a game at like, you know, 1080p, whatever, just like normal HD. And the GPU will use AI to upscale that to 4K. So instead of using, because, you know, your GPU only has so much power, instead of using a lot of that power to render natively at a high resolution, you render natively at a lower resolution and just AI upscales it. So you can use all of that other power to just make a prettier game. Use things like ray tracing and like higher quality textures and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it works really well. Like, upscaling resolution is not a new idea, but Nvidia's implementation of it is done almost flawlessly. Like, it's at the point where like channels like Digital Foundry, which do like very in-depth video game tech analysis, they're like, you should just use this, because the difference between Nvidia's upscaling technology and native rendering is so small that it's just, you're better off using that power.
Yeah, like unless you're someone who's really keen on it, you probably wouldn't even notice it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. That's Nvidia's big leg up on AMD. PlayStation, Xbox, they use AMD GPUs. The Switch is the only console that uses an NVIDIA GPU. And so everyone starts thinking, that'd be crazy. Like, are they going to use this? Because the Switch is the machine that needs that most, because it's the most underpowered. Mm-hmm. The rumor is that the Switch Pro is going to use that, so that when the Switch is docked, it will output 4K using NVIDIA's upscaling technology.
That's nuts.
So now the Switch Pro, in theory, like, Nintendo won't be that odd one out that's like, oh yeah, we really need to scale back our games to go on the Switch, and like third-party support is very wishy-washy or compromised. On the Switch Pro, it should be able to go toe-to-toe with like PS5, Xbox Series X. Like, it should be, like, they have that first-party support, but it looks like they'll start to get that third-party support without as many compromises now.
I would say they still have some third-party support. I just don't think they have the major third-party support that you would expect for some tech company as big as Nintendo to want.
Yeah, and it's like, often, you know, compromised. Like, they have, like, Doom and Doom Eternal, and those games run with high frame rates on there, but very low resolutions, very compromised, like, texture quality and, like, draw distance and stuff. Like, can you play them? Yes, but it is objectively is it the best way to
experience that? is it the best way to experience a game like Doom? Like, probably not.
Yeah, and especially like some of these games when you're in handheld and they're dropping to like, you know, like I've heard of games dropping to like 400p, like high 300p. It's like that's standard definition. Like, that's not great.
We don't feel like 1080 is not even good. Low key, or at least 720 got to be the new standard.
Yeah, but it's like the current Switch struggles to do 720p even when docked sometimes. So the Switch Pro really seems like it'll be an upgrade there. And in handheld, apparently they're switching to an OLED screen as well. So like, that thing's going to be nice. Fucking beautiful.
Yeah, it sounds nice.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. Totally tangent there, but yeah.
Switching topics.
Hey, you guys don't mind.
I got my yeah, that's why. All right. Picture the scenes.
Yeah. Okay.
You are a business owner. Money is not an option, or not, money's not an issue. Mm-hmm. You got a spot, prime retail, right in the middle of 17th Ave.
Okay.
What do you open and why?
Ooh.
Because I was thinking about this the other day, because there's a spot. Yeah. I don't know if you know, but Nelly's closed. R.I.P.
Fuck, Nelly. It did?
Yeah, R.I.P. Nelly.
Oh, no.
And my first thought, obviously, I'm not saying it's not going to fit in there, like specifically in that building, but my first thought would be like, damn, a cool business would be like, I would call it like triple B's or something. So like bubble tea, board games, and bowling. So you could do
bro,
the three.
I was literally going to say some sort of board game cafe. I was literally going to say that.
I'm telling you right now. You order the bubble tea. You're like, shit, let's go bowling. You tired of bowling? Shit, there's board games in the back. Like, geez.
That's fair. Yeah, I feel like you got to do something with like, that's not just the standard like bar restaurant. Like it's got to engage people. Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's a good way to engage. Like, I think the reason that National Intent is so popular is because they have
options,
the bar games, and like they have the bowling. Like, obviously, people go there to eat, but then you go downstairs and there's a fuck ton of stuff to do. And like, if I had to pick a National to go to every time, if it wasn't busy and, you know, COVID permitted, I'd probably pick that one. Not that National's top choice for food for me, but, you know, like for a good time, I feel like you get to go bowling and you get to go eat some decent food and like connect with people. I think that's a good one.
Shit.
So that was my idea. I was like, damn, triple B.
I don't know if you'd be able to do bowling though, because you need kind of a big place.
No, I know. I'm saying like, yeah, okay. That was more so for the scenario. I'm not saying.
I mean, National's just made a fucking basement, so.
Yeah, but they have a room underground. Large area.
That building is huge.
Yeah, they have a huge spot.
Yeah.
I was saying in general, just like something like that would be sick to me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. No, not I necessarily
need to be on 17th Ave and like somehow you're gonna make it fit, just like in general. I was just saying if you have prime retail somewhere, money's not an issue, like you're an entrepreneur, what would you want to build there and why?
That was the same like thing I was thinking. It's like some sort of like really cool board game like restaurant or something. Yeah.
Damn, I can't even. It's like, here's the thing, like that street is so full of restaurants already that it's like you have to do something you need.
VR arcade.
I'm just saying, like I was trying to get a point across, or get the point across that like money's not an issue, space is an issue. Okay. What would your idea of like something cool to build in prime retail be, and how successful do you think it would be?
Sure.
Kind of thing is what I was more so getting at.
Shit. You know, I'd love to do like, they have that place downtown on Stephen Ave. It's I forget what it's called, but it's like that photo studio, like that kind of like Instagram type thing. I'd love to see more of that. Like, to my knowledge, that's the only one in Calgary that is like permanently open. And it's like, you know, it's all right, but I'd love to see something more. Like I don't know, like the kind of things that I guess you would see more in like New York and LA, like the really like big scale kind of like event type things. It's like, I mean, most of them are kind of like limited time like pop-ups, but I don't know, I think it would be cool to have something like that that's a bit more out there, a bit less contained. Like, I don't know if you guys have been to this photo place on Stephen Ave.
It no, but I know cool. what you're talking about.
Yeah, but generally everything is very like small, sectioned off kind of thing. Like, it's like, here is a wall with props in front of it, and that's what you get. Like, it's very contained. I'd love to see like entire rooms, entire hallways, you know, where it's just like the entire environment of like this section.
That would be really cool.
Is a build is uh a specific, like, theme kind of thing. So you can play
room
with
A.
It,
room A is like a little beach. Room B is like urban alley.
Yeah. Just where you have like more room to kind of experiment.
To add on to that and to kind of go with the 17th Ave vibe, like a rotating museum. Like just a small place. You can go take pics there. But it's showing like it's showcasing like local artists' art.
They got one at Mission. They got one at Mission.
But it's not in 17th. Oh yeah, I guess Mission's close enough.
But
I'd say a Cold Garden.
That'd be sweet.
Because there's no Cold Gardens on 17th, as far as I'm aware.
A what?
A Cold Garden. So it's just like
a cold garden.
Basically a beer garden. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you can like order food or like bring in food that you've gotten from 17th Ave over to there. It's just like a hangout spot or whatever. You get drinks. Because I don't know if there is some place like that on 17th. I know there's like places elsewhere, but.
You know what you could always use more of? Mini golf.
Mini golf is fun. It kind of makes me mad that we don't have too many mini golf options aside from like Monster Mini Golf, Shakers, and I think there's one outdoor one that's open like during the summertime.
COP as well.
COP has one, but like I think a really good mini golf place, or at least if I were to make a mini golf place, I would have to make the holes like change out every so often, you know what I mean? Like it gets kind of stale. Really? I don't know how well you'd be able to do that, but like make it change out every so often, so like keep it interesting, you know,
make it modular.
I want like a proper mini golf place. Like, you know, don't get me wrong, mini golf is fun regardless, not trying to hate, but like a lot of mini golf places, it's very much just like here's a very normal green and like look, we just have fun decorations. It's like no, I want you to like integrate cool shit into the
I'm trying to get like my stuff cannon. Going through two windmills, a cannon. I'm trying to get
exactly.
go up and down. Like,
I need a teleportation device.
A gravity lift.
Exactly. I'm trying to get a mini golf that puts
Yo, how cool would it be if there was like a big fan and you had to like bank it into the fan because it's like it pushes your ball? Dude, that'd be sick.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. Like just give me like a cool mini golf course, not just like a normal green. Give me something that's like actually creative, you know?
That's fair.
Yeah. I would totally go for that. Cause I don't think we have anything like that in Calgary.
There's one that, sorry. I was going to say, this is it's on the same note, but I'm not saying it's exactly what you're talking about. This one is, I think it's just off McLeod. It's the most base ass mini golf you've ever seen, but the food was hella good. And like, that's how they draw you in.
Where Cart World is or whatever. Is that the one you're talking about?
I can't remember, but the mini golf is pretty basic and like it's like kind of fun to do, but like the food itself is actually really good. It's like Asian, it's Pan Asian food.
Oh, okay.
What was it called? One. Still pretty fun though. Like it's definitely fun to be able to get a drink, like buy a drink. So whether it be like, I don't know, if you're an alcoholic or like you like alcohol or drink like beer or wine or something. But if you're not, like they have plenty of like they do like Shirley Temples, they did like iced teas and stuff. Like they have a lot of options for like non-alcoholics too, and like I think that's a good place.
You know, that you don't often see is like an indoor like actual golf course. Like you know how they have like the screen and you take a real shot against like just
Top Golf.
Yeah, Top Golf. So like you don't really see that anywhere really. No, what I think are you they saying? Have it at, like
Sportcheck and Westbrook Mall. Sportcheck and Westbrook Mall got a whole hole. Have it.
Yeah, they have one putting green that's gone now. But no, like, because I feel like a lot of people would like that. And especially in Calgary, like, you have very, very, like, small window to actually go golf. So I feel like if you had one of those, like, as, like, a bar, I think that'd be pretty sweet.
I'm just going to say on that note, I agree. I'm just going to say on that note, though, there is a Topgolf VR game, and it is one of the most fun games I've ever played. Like, not just in VR, just flat out. It is one of the funnest games I have ever played. It is fucking great.
It has
Top Golf and mini golf in it. It was originally just a mini golf game with like Top Golf branding, but they were like, oh, let's put like actual Top Golf in it too. And it has like this whole like lounge area with like fire pits and benches and shit, so you can literally just like sit around and like talk to people. It has like TVs everywhere where you can like play YouTube videos on. You can like listen to music. You can have like host doing it for everyone, or everyone can do like their individual like songs and playlists and shit. It's fucking dope. It's so cool.
something that I don't think you guys have really experienced, or maybe you have, but like I would love for us as the boys, like as a group, to go experience is karaoke bars.
Oh yeah.
We oh shit. To,
I'm pretty Galaxy sure it's Carter and I. I'm pretty sure Carter and I. Yeah, Carter and I have gone.
Yeah.
But like with like with not. Just the boys and not just like a few of us, but like the whole group, it's so much fun. Like
I definitely have.
You basically gone. Even if you don't drink, like they still bring good food. Like Steven, they got some wings and they got some other like stuff. And then like everyone's just
hold up. It's just vibes. You know what I mean? Steven to eat wings and then touch a microphone that we all have to share.
Oh, that's factual.
Think about that. I think about that one.
But no, like it's a lot. It's honestly like one of those things that like. I feel like even if you're not someone who drinks, like you could still have a lot of fun sober there just because of how fun it is. Just like sure. Vibe with everyone, get some good food, get some good drinks, yeah, and just like have fun singing.
You know what would be sick? Not being in lockdown.
Oh yeah. Speaking of which, are you guys planning on getting vaccines as soon as you are allowed to?
Or
do you
oh, guys dude, sign up fuck for the, yeah, of course.
Do you guys sign up for the what is that called? Like if they have extras or something, they call you.
Wait, that's a thing?
In. Yeah, it's a thing.
Oh, I didn't know that. No, I will though. Yeah, no, I think totally. It's as only, soon as I can. Fuck yeah.
I think it's only through Shoppers. I would just look into it. Some pharmacies do it. I know that aren't Shoppers. Like I got offered, so I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll sign up. But
yeah,
which
no, totally.
Which vaccines has Canada gotten? Because I know there's what three now. There's like Pfizer, Moderna, and
Johnson & Johnson.
Someone's like,
oh, so there's four then? Because there's the
AstraZeneca,
yeah.
Wasn't AstraZeneca pulled out though? Like, weren't there like a bunch of like issues with that one?
There was. I think they just like sort of fixed their issues and they're starting to release it now.
Oh, okay. And Johnson & Johnson, I don't know if Canada's got it, but it's the one shot one. So, I mean, obviously that's the ideal one.
You really trying to get one shot though?
It's the doc's yeah.
One shot, one kill.
All right. We should restart the meeting.
Yeah, we're going to have to take a quick cut here.
Okay. All
right.
Do I have any? No.
Okay, we're back. So we're gonna be. I'm gonna try to kind of change the topic a bit. So I was thinking. I can't remember when it happened, but basically, thinking about like how you. Okay, so this is what happened. There's like a. News
oh
release.
Yeah, Steven. No, you're.
Oh my god. I'm trying to give context to you guys.
That's crazy.
So I was reading this like article that was basically saying it was like. Backlash on Elon Musk because basically they said they were going to start producing Model S's and the Model X, the SSC SUV, right? Basically, they're going to start production on those again, and then they didn't. And then people are like, "Hey, what's going on here? Like, are you lying? Like, it was you didn't make it seem like it was a forecast." But I was thinking, it was like outside of the you know. Sort of backlash with Tesla. How crazy is Elon Musk's legacy going to be? Like, if you think about everything he's done, this man has basically changed society. Zip2 changed the way like websites are created on the internet. PayPal started changing how like basically one of the first fintech companies changed how people use like money online. Tesla, SpaceX, the Boring Company. And then, well, I guess Solar City is not really like the founder of that, but like
Solar City is part of Tesla now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then you have, is he still associated with, the Neuralink company?
Yeah. Yeah. That's another one.
Cause I know there was a company he
Yo,
left.
What about those flamethrowers though?
I forget which one it was. That was Boring Company. That was the Boring Company. But yeah, no, it's, you're right. Like Elon as a person has a questionable reputation, but Elon just as like an entrepreneur, like looking at what he's done, looking at his work, it's like undeniable that he has had huge influence on the work on other company or sorry on world
is our world's Tony Stark companies.
Dude,
he really is.
Like how long is it before this man develops his own Iron Man suit just because he saw the movie again and got inspired randomly? Like,
fingers crossed.
Loki, I wouldn't even be surprised if he came out and tweeted and he's like, just watched Endgame again, kind of want to develop my own Iron Man suit, let's go. And then like 6 months later, all right, here it is.
Now he just releases a picture of like what looks like a SpaceX rocket. And yeah, then he's just like,
just...
it's just, I am Iron Man. And then like a week later, we just see him in like a press conference, just like fly from the sky, like in an Iron Man suit. Like, What?
Yeah. Oh, the company I was thinking of, by the way, was OpenAI. It was a company he co-founded, but left because of conflict of interest with Tesla.
Is he still a board member, or
I believe he left. It says Musk left OpenAI board to avoid possible future conflicts with his role as CEO of Tesla, as Tesla increasingly became involved in AI.
Hmm.
So yeah, he's completely out of that company now. Hmm. And then there's also Hyperloop, which is a thing that, like, you don't see it in the headlines as much anymore, but, like, definitely a relevant technology.
Mm-hmm. Dude, it's, like, I mean, thinking about if we actually end up going to Mars and make a settlement, Elon Musk, at that point, I think is the most influential person in history.
Especially if SpaceX is the first to get there.
Yeah. Which,
if you're going by when various organizations are aiming to launch there, I believe SpaceX does have the soonest target date. Now, granted, that's a target date. And if we know anything about Elon, it's that he very often sets ambitious target dates that he does not meet. But if we're just going off of the dates that various organizations have set right now, I believe SpaceX is looking at the soonest time frame to get people to Mars.
Low key though, I think this is kind of different for him, because it's not just like for a company and for him as a person to achieve something like this. I feel like this is way different than anything he's done. So it's like he might be way more inspired and motivated to actually hit this target date. Whereas other things, it's like, sure, like he's pretty innovative and all the other stuff he's done, but it's not like it's something that's going to change the world on that big of a scale as like someone's first person to send people to Mars. Like, that's cool.
Sure.
And I mean, like, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. No, totally. Sorry, finish your thought.
Oh, I was basically done there. I was just going to say, I feel like he might be more motivated because this is something so drastically larger and bigger, different on that scale, you know?
Sure. The thing I was going to mention, which I forgot, part of SpaceX, Starlink, their initiative to just get internet across the world with satellites. That's another thing that, like, you know, we're so used to having internet here. That is not a luxury that everyone has, even like in like first world countries like the US and stuff. There are lots of like rural parts of these countries that don't have internet, and so the idea of getting internet across the globe, not only just like, you know, in dead zones of countries that mostly have internet, but in countries that may have limited to no access or may only have government
control. They don't have that infrastructure and stuff.
Yeah. Like when you look at somewhere like China, you look at somewhere like, what was it? Gosh, I know there's some like South American countries that also have like government regulated internet. It's like, they don't have free access. So it's like not free access as in paid, but free access as in like able to just view information unfiltered. They don't have that. So for now everyone to have, you know, ideally once this is done, for everyone to have the opportunity to get on the internet and get on a version of the internet that is unregulated, uncontrolled, be able to just see everything out there, like, that's huge.
What's crazy is it's also an improvement on the infrastructure that we have now, because the satellites are actually lower flying, and so your bandwidth and speed is better.
Really?
Yeah, so they're not as far out from like Earth's surface. Like, they're
orbiting much lower.
Exactly. So that's partially why you need more satellites, because obviously, like, you know, it's not going to be able to cover as much ground, but it's better.
How is it going to work? So say, obviously, I think with satellite radio and things like that, the farther underground you are, but or in certain spots, it's just harder for the satellite the satellite waves to reach. So if that's the case with your internet, how far and how effective is it going to be, say, if you live in like a basement of something or like a deeper area, you know what I mean? Like, how is that going to work? I have no frame of reference on it. I'm just wondering if that's
so thing. The way the setup works is you have a satellite dish like on your roof or whatever, which receives the signal, and that just goes to a normal internet router.
Yeah, and then router. You still
have the same limitations that you currently do of, you know, if you're in a concrete building, the signal's going to have trouble getting to you. If you're in a basement, the signal's going to have trouble getting to you. The problem they're trying to solve is just geographically, like, here is a plane of land. We are getting signal to that plane of land. it's up to an individual to find the best way to get that throughout their building, if that's multiple routers that chain it or whatever. But it's just the idea of, you know, every part of Earth's surface will receive signal, kind of thing.
You know, it'd be a crazy concept. I don't know if this is being worked on right now, but so there's a concept in quantum physics called superposition, where basically like
two big quantum physics guy.
So basically like it's essentially like one object or like one atom can be in two places at once at the same time and also separately. It's a weird concept. But basically you can affect one of the objects by affecting the other. So essentially they're like linked in some sort of quantum field. What if you had like internet that worked like that? So it's basically like instant connection. That would be insane.
I don't understand quantum physics enough to know.
I don't either, but I've just heard of this theory. But essentially, okay, effectively, what if you just had like an instant link internet wise to anywhere in the world? So zero ping all the time.
Cool. Interesting. That would be insane. Okay. What are the practical benefits of that, though? Like, having low ping, it is pretty much imperceptibly, like, to yourself. Like, obviously, measurably, there is a delay. But in practice, having a low enough ping, it is imperceptible from, like, an instant connection. So what would the actual practical benefits be of having zero ping?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd just have, like, better bandwidth. So, like, you'd have
enter nirvana.
Yeah, you'd have no like reduction in your speed, no matter where you are.
But I feel like the difference between zero and like anything under like even 5 to 10 is probably not even noticeable for what most people are doing.
Right, but I'm saying like
general like that would be cool to achieve.
Yeah, that would be cool to achieve. Okay, but yeah, also sure, it's sure. impossible currently to have like
I thought less you were saying there's some sort of
ping from like one end to the other end of the world. You know what I'm saying? Like you wouldn't have like a 5 or 10 ping to like Tokyo,
but like there's a threshold where like for most common individuals like that are even using internet, the difference between 5 to even anything less than like 50, I would say, I'm just saying, is like, is that a worthwhile thing to like pursue at this day and age? I'm not saying you couldn't or you shouldn't, just like is it worth the resources and the time?
What are the benefits, basically? Yeah, like, what do we get from accomplishing?
For most people that are going to be using it, even, it's like the difference is probably so small that it wouldn't even make sense for them to do that.
Yeah.
Let alone like the financial aspect of it. How much is that going
to
cost?
Well, I guess the other added benefit is, and
it would be very cool. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'd love to have a zero ping all the time. It'd be crazy. Yeah. But
this is also assuming like we're insane technology developed from what we have now.
Yeah.
But effectively, like, I guess if you went off that theory, like you just have your own router in your house and then you'd not need any lines throughout the city anywhere. You wouldn't need a satellite. It would just like, boom, quantum position or like superposition to any other like place anywhere.
Here's the thing, Carter. I don't think you would want that because then you wouldn't have an excuse in Siege.
Yeah, well, I don't really play Siege anymore. I don't really care. But then
18 Carter is punching the air right now, bro, for sure.
But then it doesn't matter because I wouldn't be getting these bullshit deaths.
I think something, if I had one wish in terms of like gaming and tech, it's either everyone gets a steady connection or everyone has their own server to connect to. And they all just link to a bigger server so there's no delay kind of thing. I don't know. Something like that would be sweet. Regardless of the game, I would appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I mean, like, it's always... there's always going to be some benefit. It's like, you know, even if it's not a huge improvement from our perspective, an advancement is an advancement. And, like, I can especially see that being relevant in something like remote surgeries or whatever, where it's like, you are doing
start
like
lagging.
Yes, you like, just have a scalpel. Right, you're like cutting a nerve. And just...
What do I do now? You just see the ring. Shit.
Can we turn it off and on again? But no, it's like that's where I could see that, especially being relevant. Where it's like if you're doing a very delicate, I mean, like any remote surgery is delicate, but like an especially delicate one, like I don't even like remote brain surgery or some shit like that. It's like you have zero margin for error, like literally none. So I can especially see something like that.
You know how really terrifying it must be to be a surgeon? Like, no way, especially for something like that, like where someone's life is basically in your hands. Like, if you fuck up,
yeah,
like their death is on you. Like, obviously they know, they understand the risk, and like if they want the surgery, they're gonna get the surgery. I get that, but like that's just kind of crazy to think about how much pressure is actually on someone that's doing any kind of surgery, let alone like, no, I wouldn't say any kind of surgery, because like I feel like you probably wouldn't pass away if you got surgery on like your knee or something. I'm saying something more like critical, like a heart surgery or a brain surgery or something that's pretty critical to your life. The amount of like margin for error that you have and how much pressure is actually on you is kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah. Also, yeah. I was talking, I meant to say quantum entanglement, not superposition. Superposition is Schrodinger's cat. Quantum entanglement's like basically
that's the why connection I said, of
two things.
I brought that up. I was like, Schrodinger's cat, isn't that, it sounds what you're saying right now. Like,
yeah, Schrodinger's cat is like basically
the cat is, it could be alive or dead. It's in a superpositional state until you open the box to find out which one it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's like basically whatever you're, something acts differently until it's observed, and then it acts like another way that you theorize. Mm-hmm. Basically, yeah. All right. Well,
man, that's a mind fuck to think about.
Jesus, it is. Lord. I mean, that's like, the thing. That's why it's quantum theory. It's just a theory. It's
like, who wakes up and is like, theory. How am I gonna think? How am I gonna break someone's mind today? Put a cat in a box and see what they think.
Bro, what's crazier is like, okay, so we have theory, like scientific theories today, but it's like, if you think about a lot of the stuff that like we base our fact on or theories on today, how did people think about that in the past? Like, how did y'all test that shit?
That's what I'm saying. What the fuck? There's some weird stuff going on. I'm like, man, like, who thought of making the world's first, like, the world's first, like, map? Even, or like the world's first, like who was the first
how,
person?
How
like,
do you even
Isaac shit. Newton Isaac Newton saw an apple fall. He's like, oh fuck, like I wonder why it fell. And then like he dedicated his life to that. And I'm like, damn, like can you imagine if that just happened to someone today? And like obviously back then where like something as like quote unquote fundamental as gravity is now a pretty like well understood topic. Like obviously there's always more to learn, but like back then it was probably revolutionary. But it's something as simple as an apple falling, like kind of nuts to think about, like someone dedicated the rest of their like or a large portion of their life to studying that. It's like, I wonder why this apple falls. How fast will it fall from here or here or here? They just go to the supermarket, pick up like 20 apples. They're like, I'm busy today, I need these.
Well, it's like what I don't understand is like, okay, something like the equals mc squared equation, right? Energy or yeah, energy equals matter times the speed of light squared. It's like, how? Why, like, where did you even get that?
Like, he was like, I've been convinced that, like, slowly convinced over history, it's one of those dumb conspiracy theories, but these guys were all high when they did it. Like, what compels you to think of something that outside of the box that you aren't in, like, a different state of mind? Like, someone's mind naturally works that. It's just, it's mind-blowing to me that someone thought, like, I wonder if I could somehow calculate this. And they end up finding an equation that actually accurately calculates that. Like, what?
Well, there's like a lot of like theories that talk about like, oh, if you are on whether it's shrooms or, you know, DMT or whatever it is, like that you basically sort of like supersede your like human knowledge. And I guess a theory of like universal knowledge or whatever, that like there's a force within the universe that binds, like essentially it's like the universal library. And, like, you can connect to it somehow. I don't know. Theory. But, like, basically there's, like,
a game
theory. Force within the universe that just, like, holds all of the knowledge of existence.
It's your energy. It's your chi.
I can't remember what it's called, but, like.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Sounds like we had a pretty interesting discussion. We went from entrepreneur development to top five games that you would want people to play, to quantum theories, to conspiracy theories. This is a wild episode.
It's crazy. We're all over the place. That's why we never remember anything that we say.
Yeah, for sure. We just like surface scratch some topics and that's about it.
Yeah, well, fair enough. To be fair, we're not experts in any of this.
Yeah, let's make that disclaimer one more time just so everyone knows.
Yeah, we are monkey talking about things.
All right, I got one last question. Okay. This is just a personal question. Just, mm-hmm. It can be a one-word answer. If you were to host your own masterclass, what would you be teaching?
I don't think I'm good enough to host a masterclass on something.
I don't think so either, but like if you had to pick one thing that you could host a masterclass. Thanks.
I'd say BMX racing, just I did it for so long and it's something that like
my guess was gonna be that for you anyway. It was something like that.
That's the only thing aside from like competitive COD, that's like the only thing that I'm like knowledgeable enough that I'd be like, yeah, I feel like I could like teach somebody exactly how to do this.
Mm-hmm. I can teach someone how to use a Mac. I got 100% on my fucking IB project. Nah, remember grade 9? We had to do like an IB project. Yeah, I did mine. Like, here's a walkthrough on like Mac OS. Like, you're totally new to Mac. Here's a walkthrough on it. I was the only person in our graduating grade that got 100% on that.
See, yeah, I did mine on
she goes, give me like a 90. And I was like, bro, are you joking? Like, I thought my topic was lit, but like, apparently not. Like,
yeah. Bro, I remember it was graded by different prof or different teachers. So, I know. Like, that's
it was. But, anyways, I guess that's something I can do. I guess I'm good at explaining technology to people. So, like, I guess a masterclass on basic consumer tech.
Masterclass like, on how to take hour long showers.
And on that note, we're out. Hope you guys enjoyed. See ya.
Right. Peace.